Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
What's going on, After Buzzers? We are here, the Terror Infamy After Show, Season 2, Episode 10, the season finale, Into the Afterlife. We got a lot to talk about, a showdown between Henry, Yuko, and Chester, and is Yuko finally at rest? And we also have a top three inhumane topic, so stay tuned.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, for the buzz.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Good
to be back. Hi.
Good to be back. Who are you?
You remember me?
Okay. We're all together.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the Terror After Show. So great to see you all again. Season finale, Into the Afterlife. A lot to talk about. A lot of questions answered in this episode. Yeah. But I can't do this show alone. We got down there all the way to the far left. You know him from Skylines, as he does it in English and German.
That's right.
Know him from Pennyworth, and he is also in charge of our lovely special segment, Binge Schnau.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Thank you so much for having me again. I love you guys. Good to see you again. And
yes.
This was a crazy last episode. Oh, my God. I was crying. I was scared. I was everything, you know?
Everything.
Yeah,
all the emotions.
Much, yeah.
And to his right, you've seen him on The Politician and Lettered Kenny. He's also in charge of our news and gossip.
Oh, yes.
Welcome, Adam Carr.
Hello. How are we doing, everybody? Adam Carr here, originally from Cleveland. So excited to be talking about the final episode here of The Terror. Absolutely love it.
The Buckeyes. That's all I know about
Cleveland, Ohio. Go Bucks.
Okay, and I'm Danny Royce. Okay, all right, thanks. Thanks for the intro.
He does a lot of stuff, too. Man.
Danny also was on the very first season of The Terror here.
I was.
Of course.
Thank you. I was on the very first season. Thank you.
He's unstoppable, this guy.
This is, wow. What a season finale. So, Ben, what are your overall thoughts of this episode?
I mean, honestly, when I saw the scene in the woods, right, I was like, oh my God, Henry's going crazy. You know, they're meeting Yuko. Yuko is going crazy. Chester's going crazy. But then at some point, I was also very emotional,
to be honest,
because the sister, right? I like her, but I also like Yuko because I feel sorry for her.
Yeah.
I still feel sorry for her.
Mm-hmm.
Even that she's doing these crazy things and killing people, I still feel sorry. I don't know how you feel.
Yeah.
What about you guys? I mean,
Adam?
No, Asako, man, it stinks. Because you kind of had a feeling from the beginning, you're like, okay, somebody did something. Like, this isn't just happening randomly.
Right.
They weren't just randomly targeted. And it sucks because it's the betrayal of the family and they're trying to cover it all up and... You feel bad, and then you're no longer seeing Yuko as just the crazed Yuri who's like stealing babies and taking them, you know, to the peaceful Japanese garden where you can't open doors. You're starting to see that like her whole life was kind of taken from her, and she was just kind of tossed around and, you know, objectified. Kind of she was just a means to an end. Like, oh, I don't really want to do this. Hey, you know what? You go do this. You go marry this guy who's a psycho drunk, by the way. I'm not going to go anywhere near him.
And she had no idea. It's crazy.
She had no idea. And she was pregnant. Like, she had a lot of emotions going on here. It's, you know, that kind of crazed. You can see why she would, you know, be this spirit that can't rest.
Right.
She went through all this stuff in her life. She never had any closure. She never had...
Yeah.
Anything good?
Yeah,
for
I'd
her
be.
Happen.
I'd be one pissed off spirit if that was her.
Pissed off Yuri,
which
is the spinoff.
Yeah,
I would have done this.
Which is the spinoff.
I would have
stay
done
tuned
same.
For that.
That's
guys.
It.
We're writing it. Now, so we start off the episode with Yamato-san, and he's dreaming, right?
Mm. Yeah.
And so he sees this long lost friend.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like, you know, a prelude to what is going to happen in Hiroshima.
Yeah.
So, Adam, what did you think about that scene and the dialogue between the two?
It's sad because at first you're like, oh, great. You know, he's saying long as his brother, right? Yeah, they were brothers, yeah.
They were brothers, yeah.
You realized he's seeing him, he's so happy. And then I'm like, wait, if he's seeing him, And then, yeah, when he shows the camera pans behind and shows the entire family, and he's like, yeah, we're at Hiroshima. You're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
They're all there now. This is terrible. So it was, it's pretty heartbreaking. I mean, George Takei is
amazing.
He's one of the, bedrocks of this episode. It's so cool seeing him. He's, you know, I think we're all a big fan of, I love his social media, frankly. He's very savvy. But it's so cool to see him in this role, and also something that's so socially important to the Japanese people.
Right.
It's a very cool thing to see.
Right.
And also, as we saw at the end of the episode, he was really there as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
He lived that.
Yeah.
What he was basically portraying in the series.
Right.
Which is crazy.
And you can read his autobiography and all that. And
that's awesome.
His book.
I want to read his autobiography now.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's got some incredible stories in there. I really liked. I mean, when I saw the opening scene and all that, I knew exactly where they were going with it when they mentioned Hiroshima, and then they saw the family line behind them. But I love how how they do that, how they incorporate all these real life events and really touch you in a way that's that shows humanity. It really shows humanity, and they open the episode with that, and I thought it was very strong. And then we saw the terror that actually took place with the, you know, in Japan and Hiroshima, but also with the Japanese American people in the concentration camps. And then we saw the Americans that were really excited and parading around. What did you think about that scene?
I mean, that was so ironic to me in a way, right? I mean, you have these American Japanese people coming outside and seeing all these people celebrating. Oh my God, we hit Hiroshima right now and stuff like that, right? And still, I don't know. I mean, putting yourself in the same situation, right? You're basically still part of that culture, but you also feel American in a way. So what do? You know, I mean, you don't really want to celebrate for that because it feels wrong, because it's my own people still in a way, right? So I think that was a very strong moment also for these real people to understand, oh my God, we don't really know how to react here right now.
Right.
So that was kind of interesting that they did that, you know, that way.
But it was ugly.
It was kind of ugly.
Makes you feel dirty.
Even that I'm not Japanese, I felt uncomfortable.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I would not be cheering and applauding anything like that.
Exactly. For sure.
Yeah. For sure.
You know, it was a great way to open the episode, and then also, you know, it was like,
I think just showing you, too, that war is a terrible thing.
Terrible.
No matter what side you're on, no matter what we're trying to accomplish, the fact that it's broken down to a point where killing the other person is the only resolve, that's pretty terrible. And I think we keep forgetting that not only have Japanese Americans and Japanese Canadians have just been forced out of their homes, they've been forced to go to these camps.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the same time, they're hearing that, you know, places from back home are just gone, and most likely family members are gone.
Friends, so everything. Yeah.
Again, it's like just another chipping away of like, what's one more thing I can take from you to test your humanity?
Right.
Like it's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
It's
a lot. You're going through that, and then you also got this Yuri.
I know. Woman stealing babies.
Which is smart.
Intention.
Right. Well, before we go on to our next topic, Adam has a message for you all.
I just want to say we want to thank you guys for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. And, of course, for us to continue to grow, we could always use your help. We are a nonprofit here at AfterBuzz TV. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, like us, comment. If you comment, guess what? We talk back to you because we love our viewers. Thank you so much for being part of AfterBuzz TV and for helping us here. As always, give us a great rating on iTunes if you like us. If you love us, give us 5 stars. Come on. It helps us. It helps you. As always, thank you for being part of us, tuning in week after week. We love doing these shows. To me, Monday is now my favorite day of the week because I get to come here. So, thank you guys very much.
You get to sit with us, you know?
I get to sit with you guys. Get to sit at the big kids'
table.
That's
the main reason why you love it, right?
That's
because you're sitting with
pretty
us.
Pretty much it.
I mean, we actually were supposed to wear black on Mondays. You guys missed.
Do you know?
It's okay.
Sit
with us. No. So the showdown between Henry, Yuko, and Chester. I want to talk. I mean, this is mainly the whole episode almost.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on. Ben, let's start with you. Your overall thoughts of that situation there at the gravesite.
Yeah, exactly. So it was surprising, to be honest, because I saw a lot of stuff I didn't see coming, you know, because I felt like, okay, we're going to see that she's taking the baby back, you know, she's going to fall into the grave. Mm-hmm. But then I didn't expect her to come out again.
Right.
And then I learned about the sutras and all that stuff. That's basically fighting against her power, right?
Henry for the win.
Exactly.
Henry. Henry came through.
And thank God Henry came, because without Henry, it wouldn't have happened that way, you know? So I was like,
that's such a great moment for Henry. Because Henry has just taken it this whole season. Mm-hmm. He's lost everything. Yeah. He's got frostbite in his foot. That's the thing. You keep noticing that limp. That guy's good. he's still remembering. I'm like, he has a frostbitten foot. He's missing, like, you know, he has, like, four toes.
He has four
poor
toes.
Poor guy. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, method acting. Henry showing up and saving Chester. First off, I want to talk about, like, Yuko's lair, though. That way, that she was there for, you know, a month just preparing for this burial to return back to the afterlife. And then they end up at the gravesite.
Yeah.
Henry comes up with the sutra, and then he has his own plan.
Yeah.
He refuses Chester to be taken back with him.
And I think that was a beautiful moment of realization for Henry, too. You know, because the last two or three episodes, we always had that feeling, or I had the feeling, that Chester and Henry, there's kind of an argument, right? They don't really get along. They're not on the same page or something, you know, because Chester really wants to give his life, as we all know, right? In two episodes almost, to prepare to kill himself in order to save his wife and his kid and everybody. Right, but Henry is completely against it. But then Henry steps up out of a sudden, which I didn't see coming, by the way. I don't know how you guys felt about it, that he's really showing up in the woods.
I didn't think he was going to let his son kill himself.
I didn't see that.
That's a big...
So,
yeah,
and that was beautiful to see. Oh, my God, he is still my son. I don't care if he's, you know, like,
biological.
Yeah, biological, my son. He was like, he said, my parents are dead. Like,
exactly.
He was like, forget this kid.
I love that. Henry continued to be that father and care for Chester, because he did. He was there, you know. You don't need to be blood-related to be a parent. But also, everything that Chester said, you know, that you're dead to me, like all these horrible things he said to his face, he still came and showed out for you. Like, that was amazing.
Right. And also when he basically kind of
he tore the picture.
That was a beautiful moment, like a metaphor almost. You know, like I made a decision here right now.
Yes. Boom,
and that's it.
I made a decision. Chester, you have nothing to say. this is how it's gonna go. And then what I thought when Asako-san and Luz and I'm forgetting the name. Well, no, it was just Luz and Asako-san, no? They showed up. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when they showed up, you know, everything had already happened.
Yeah.
Yuko crawled out, made Henry shoot himself. And I don't know. Yuko, she can be anywhere, anytime. It's just crazy that she has all she needs is a vessel to jump into.
It's kind of crazy.
And so when they finally arrived, everything had happened, and I just thought that moment when Asako-san lost Henry, that was a touching moment.
It was. I had tears in my eyes. I'm dead serious, guys.
Yeah,
I was like, whoa.
It was crazy.
They got me.
Yeah, I didn't see Asako-san and Luz coming. Like, I didn't expect them to show up as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it happens.
That was the moment when I personally forgave her. I was like, okay, you lost your man right now. You lost the love of your life. Even that you did a lot of mistakes, I'm with you now.
It's so crazy because it's like you do feel for her, but then she started all of this.
I know.
if you want to be honest.
I would say she reacted to all this. I would say there were many things she did not technically start it. I would say she was she's spurned. I mean, if Asako hadn't lied to her.
Yeah, Asako. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Asako.
Sorry,
sorry, yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. Yuko.
I'm sorry, Yuko.
Yeah, no. Asako
just
started
kidding.
All this.
Asako's the devil. No.
Yeah.
Yes, Asako's the devil.
I was just like, yeah.
No. Asako started
everything. Asako started everything.
I'm not going to talk. You're doing great.
Okay, Ben. So anyway. No, but...
Who are you? No,
Adam left.
Everything. It was just a domino effect of what she did.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And but... it's also an underlining message that, you know, your actions and your decisions will affect those around you and even your family, you know.
For sure.
Even for generations to follow.
Yeah.
So I did like that message that it had. So Yuko tried to bring baby Henry back with her and failed. that scene when Adam, that scene when Sokka was stabbing Yuko continuously.
Oh yeah, that was what
that
I said.
That anger and
it was
the rage,
Tarantino style.
Right.
She just went at it. I think it's what we all wanted to kind of see and have happen. Yeah. Just like, you're not going to take the baby. Whack, whack, whack. You know, Norman baits you for 90 seconds.
Right,
And then, of course, Chester's like, no, don't do it. And at first I thought, oh, no, like, if you stab her, if you kill this vessel, is she just free anywhere?
Right.
Are we supposed to keep her trapped? Because then the part, you know, where they made the mistake before was burning the body. Mm-hmm. So I think that got out the angst that we've all had for a while. I mean, Asaka, if she really wanted to, she could have, like, stabbed herself at the same time, maybe, to kind of answer for those sins.
True.
Because she, you know, did not such a nice thing by betraying her sister. But I think that's something we felt all season, because that's kind of been this final destination. You can't quite touch this evil entity. They're going to take you over, then they're going to kill you, then they're going to slowly, like, leave, and then it just looks like you committed suicide. Like, we finally had a tangible way to hurt this seemingly invincible villain.
Right.
So it was a cool moment.
That moment, I was just thinking about the first time we ever met Yuko in the brothel.
Exactly.
And I was like, wow, she's come a long way.
She did. Yeah, she's got the ripped off face.
Right.
She just looks like, yeah, she looks like a, you know.
She was just,
like a Stepford wife just malfunctioning, and then she's got like the whole crazy ragdoll thing.
Yeah,
going on.
Hey, I remember that.
Right?
Yeah, that
was Frankenstein's good. Monster, man.
That's cool.
So Luz finds that photo, which brings us to the afterlife, right?
Oh, yeah.
that whole situation with the photo and Yuko disappearing, her and her Taiso returning back to when things were happy for her. When she was pregnant, it was before the photo was taken, in my understanding, and before she went off to the U.S. to marry Furio-san. So that was the happiest moment of her life. Whatever they drank, whatever the ritual was, returned her back there. And I'm assuming that's where she will stay.
Yes.
That's where I got from it.
When she disappeared on the picture, you mean? Like, yeah, that's still something. I mean, I mentioned that already, right? I can't fully understand why she's not on the picture anymore, because that would mean that she basically is not existing anyway.
I think it's before the photo was even taken.
Yeah, but the photo was taken at the same,
moment, yeah, that's how they were able to transport there.
Right.
Whatever moment the photo's taken, that's where you
go.
That's
how we were
But how can she be gone on the picture then if the photo was taken that
because
moment?
Because I think now, somehow, like, the metaphor is her spirit's at
peace. Right, at peace. That's what
so
I was
now
thinking.
There's no more record of something bad.
Right. I can see that.
And again, I'm not sure.
But I get your point.
I totally see what you're saying.
But let's from ask a logical the writers, perspective. Actually, I'm going to call them right now.
What do you think? Let us know on YouTube. What do you guys think? What is the answer to that question?
What's the answer? Does she still do bad stuff? And is this still happening?
And there's also, we can talk to that later, but it describes a little bit of what happens online as well for News and Gossip. But I just think, it took her back to a place where, like you said, nothing bad happened. She never met Furio-san, didn't marry him or anything like that.
Oh, yeah.
And then the moment when she said, you think it's possible to stay, I think she was actually talking to Taiso, wanting him to stay with her.
Interesting.
Because, I mean, she knew she could stay. She knows the ritual. She knows all that stuff. And, I mean, she's a spirit, obviously.
Right.
But I think at that moment she was speaking to Taiso, and I just felt really, like, touched at that moment, because it was like, oh, finally.
Well, Chester, Taiso for the win. Chester here, because he finally figured out, I feel like so many horror films, you know, like you think about Freddy Krueger, Friday the 13th, Halloween. If people actually stopped and just told the villain, like, look, what happened to you? Can we go back to what broke you? What moment?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And let's go back and let's rehabilitate you and make you feel better. No one really does that. I'm not sure if that would work in American film because I don't know if we're smart enough for that yet. But it was so beautiful to see in this show, and it was very poetic.
Right.
Because he basically said, he's like, look, us trying to kill you, you trying to take babies, we're both not going to win here.
Exactly.
So let's go back to this moment when you went a little cuckoo and things justifiably were terrible that happened to you. And clearly that's not something you should have to go through. So what do we have to do to make you at peace?
Right.
And
Chester being Chester, with the great, incredible heart, he saw the humanity in Yuko.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a beautiful moment when they're basically holding hands, right, and going back to the past.
As only a son can.
Son and mother.
And I just wanted to ask you something very quickly, because she's holding the baby the whole time in the last one or two episodes, right? And it's also feeling like she's always saying, hey, Taizo, my Taizo. Mm-hmm. So I was always like, so is she kind of like going crazy a little bit right now? And she really thinks that this baby now is Taizo? Or was she just kind of making it up to just have another baby now?
I think, I mean, I think she already knew that it wasn't Taizo, but it's her Taizo. Like when he Chester showed up at the gravesite, she was saying that you were no longer Taizo.
You're no longer Taizo.
Right. So I have my new Taizo, right?
That's right.
So at that moment, it was a baby. Yeah. It had her blood, and that was it.
So she knew she can take that one back because it has the same blood.
Exactly.
It was the grandmother.
For sure.
So that's a good point.
But yeah, I just thought that that whole kudos to the writers, because that scene was amazing.
It was a very long scene. I don't know if you guys realized. I didn't see that it was very long.
It was long.
Actually. Wow.
It was long. Yeah. At the point where I was like, oh, there's more.
Exactly. That's what I feel.
After all that, it was like, there's more.
They still have to set up. Yeah.
Right.
Everyone's going to be happy.
Get everyone happy. But then also we go into Taro. Taro and remembering Henry. So that whole dialogue on the boat. Mm. What do you think about that scene, Ben?
I mean, the first thing I told you that, right, when we were watching it, I felt like, oh my God, Henry's still alive.
That's what I felt.
That's not bad for me. Good job, man. How did you do that? Shotgun wound? You lost so much blood. How can you be still alive? Well, that's cool. Not bad. So, but then, obviously, you told me, because you're a lot smarter than I am. That's just back, like flashback, Ben, wake up. I said, okay, you're right. But it was beautiful because I think pictures was always kind of a metaphor for so many things in the whole season, you know?
Right.
Basically, he was taking pictures when he went to the military, right, to basically mm-hmm. see the ghosts and stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. So that was always kind of a thing for him. But then also on the other side, it was a good and bad thing, because pictures also means family for them and be kind of like united. That's when they also do the pictures for the, what is it called? The Obon Festival at the end, right? Obon taking pictures of the whole family and everything. And also at the very beginning, I think the whole season starts with taking pictures at the wedding or whatever.
It was a funeral. The beginning.
I think the pictures photograph thing was basically,
and it's also a way to capture one's spirit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they say in that moment it captures the spirit.
So I like, and also the way how it was shot, you know, I think the coloring in the whole season was great.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it was beautiful.
Speaking of that, I want to just say Asako-san taking those 20 years off of her, that was greatly done. CGI was amazing.
That was CGI,
on that.
Right? Yeah. It has to be CGI.
Oh, yeah.
You can't do that.
It was amazing, though.
At the beginning, I'm like, real. is that what makeup can do? Is it possible to just makeup to do that? I don't know.
It's good jeans.
I was going to say them jeans.
If this was a white person show,
haggard.
That was a deep crow's feet.
Oh, no.
That was like
deep crow's feet.
Yeah, just terrible.
That was the sinking.
We don't age well. We don't age well.
That was Benjamin Button.
I'm glad you said it.
Yeah, you have to moisturize. You really have to moisturize, guys.
That was Benjamin Button style.
Yeah, that was good.
Definitely.
Benjamin Button style, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, but I was a big fan of the boat scene.
Yeah, I loved it.
I thought it was like, it reminded me of like Field of Dreams, but just on a boat.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm on a boat. They weren't going to play catch. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And I also have one takeaway for me personally, because it makes me realize, you know, if you lose someone, you usually think about stuff like, oh my God, I wish I would have spent more time with the ones I love.
Very true.
And I think this scene was very, very important to basically show to everyone, hey, you never know what's going to happen tomorrow, right? So Henry was asking him, do you want to come with me, you know, basically going into the ocean and stuff. But Chester just said, no, I have too much to do. I'm too busy. And that should remind us, you know, you never know. If someone that you love asks you for something and you also feel for this person, why not? Mm-hmm. There's always something you can make time for, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it was very strong for me.
Yeah.
So I was going very deep in that moment.
Yeah, I love the title reference of the boat being the first born son.
Exactly.
And then Henry,
That was a beautiful
love
moment.
Love that. Yuko hopefully finally at rest, and then the pictures and the celebration at the end.
Yeah.
I just loved seeing, you know, everyone together and the sushi and Luce making sushi and George like, you made these?
That made me very emotional.
That was great.
I had tears in my eyes. That made me very emotional. And that's yours. Right. That was
It was awesome. And Amy seems like she just became a rebel, but, you know, she's like on another plane.
No, she's becoming a beatnik.
You know what?
She's going to, start doing some poetry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's I can definitely see that.
She's going to,
But I was very surprised when we have that scene with Amy and... what's his name?
When,
I wrote it down. Yamato-san, exactly. Yeah, yeah. When he basically tells her, "Hey, we know what you need," I was like, "Whoa!" That was a surprise for me. I don't know. Did you guys?
No, I didn't see that one. I was like, "Huh." It makes sense, though.
And that's what community is all about, right? We have the secret. We know about it, but we don't say it because we love you. You're part of us, you know.
Right.
Major Bowen.
Sorry, man.
See Thomas Howell.
I kind of like you,
dude.
You know, but
outsiders.
Outsiders.
I
mean,
I talked about this before.
Day one.
he died. He drowned.
He just died. No.
Yeah.
It's I mean, the character.
Brutally.
But he's reached the point now. Yeah.
Right.
When your characters can die.
I mean, he had to. There was no way.
Oh no, that guy wouldn't have fit in the world. He was too crazy.
Oh no, not at all. But anything else to talk about? You want to bring up anything else about the episode?
Yeah, I mean, I really liked it. It was, I mean, the whole season was great, to be honest.
Of course,
so, like, my end result over the whole season, I can't wait for the next one, to be honest, right? So, because as we discussed, the first season and the second season, they're not really connected, right?
Which is kind of interesting.
The anthology
series.
I can't wait what they come up next.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I'm ready.
For sure.
Let's go. All right. Well, I want to move on to our special segment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
It's exactly the right sound for it. I have a crazy injustice story for you guys, a case, another case. We talked about a couple of cases in the U.S., specifically in the U.S.
Yeah.
And I have one case for you guys, for everyone, which is about a guy. It's from 2000, and September 28, 2000, his name was, or is, David Kem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's still alive. And he basically went to prison for 13 years. And now listen to the story, which is totally crazy, right? So he was basically arrested because they found some blood spatter on his t-shirt, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the person who basically did the analysis was kind of a PhD professor.
Oh.
But that's what he said to the police, that he was part of a university and he basically has a PhD and stuff like that, which was all a lie.
Mm.
But he was basically making that up for years, for 5 years straight. David already went to prison for many, many years. But then out of a sudden, in 2013,
mm-hmm.
one of the analysts, one of the colleagues just came out and said, "Hey, you know what? One of the guys who basically told us to make these kind of false reports and stuff like that was basically the lawyer of someone who actually killed the wife and the kids of David Kem. Because David Kem went to prison because they said, 'Hey, you killed your wife and your three children.'
Mm-hmm.
But it was another guy who was already in prison by then. But the lawyer he had was also a personal friend of this guy."
Wow.
Who was in prison and basically was trying to save him.
That's crazy.
You know what I mean? So he was the lawyer, the friend, and he also went up to the PhD and said, "Hey, you do exactly what I want you to do. You basically tell them that David was it and not my client.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, how is that even possible to get through? You know,
more common than you know, unfortunately.
I was like, but
listen to Serial, listen to different things. There's stuff out
but
there.
But that people keeping that quiet for so long, for 13 years.
It's kind of just eat you up.
So this guy spent 13 years in prison because someone just said, "Yeah, you killed your wife and your three children."
Right.
And out of a sudden, there's one lawyer because he wanted to save his client who was already in prison.
And I'm sure he couldn't afford top-notch lawyer, so that's also a thing.
Guys, I think we definitely have to, I hope it's different now from back to 2000, but we definitely have to dive in deeper to really make sure that we have the right people. I mean, this is not right.
No.
Think about that.
No.
It's just, I don't know. I just wanted to share that. So what kind of crazy story? It sounds like a Hollywood movie, right? But this is real life, people.
Hopefully we've gotten better since then. We'll see what the recent Fort Worth.
I know.
But interesting. With that being said, we're going to go to our top three inhumane moments in this series, anthology series of The Terror, okay? So we're going to go through our top three. You guys ready?
Oh, yeah.
Number three. Go ahead, Adam.
I said it's got to be episode 5 or 6. It's when they're leaving the camps and they get to go back home. And all the families are given $25 and an airplane ticket or train bus ticket to go home.
Yeah.
It's what you get for being displaced, put in a place, forcibly put in a place you didn't want to go with your family. they've all been there for 2 to 3 years on average. Yeah. So they get $25 a ticket to go home. And then, of course, with the family that we see, and, of course, many families, I can assume and say at the time, go home to find that their property, everything's been repossessed. Their houses have been bulldozed. Their businesses are gone. They no longer have a means to make a living. They no longer have a place to stay. And it's all been appropriated by the U.S. government.
Yeah.
And you're kind of giving that with like a tap on the shoulder, like, yep, thank you so much. Thank you for providing a service to this country. Just took everything you have. Now you can you go, please? Because we have other things to do now.
Right.
To me, it's just completely disheartening because it just takes they just took everything from these people. Like, I just, you know, I don't know how you... It's just it's very tough to to want to be in this country. I feel like it would just make you incredibly bitter because you feel like I've done nothing wrong. I am an American. I love America.
That's very true on that one.
It's a little Debbie Downer.
Debbie Downer.
But these are
inhumane.
So
it's inhumane
not
is not happy.
Not
gonna be fun. So number two. All right, so this is from last season when Good Sir, I don't know if you guys remember that character, Henry Good Sir, he was amazing. He was the physician on the voyage. Just a great, kind-hearted guy. He stuck up for a lot of people, and he was murdered by Mr. Hickey, and eaten. His body was eaten.
Damn.
So not only were you murdered, you were also just eaten. And I don't know if you remember the actual episode, but that scene was just horrific. He was laid upside down, and they actually started at his butt.
Oh, wow.
And his legs. Yeah, it was just disgusting.
I can't completely remember it, but did they really show that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ooh, wow.
So, yeah, revisit next, last season. And this is all historical events, mind you.
Yeah, that makes it even crazier.
Right. And then number one, we all decided, which took place in the beginning of this episode, Hiroshima.
Yeah.
We don't really need to go too much into that because we know what that is. If you don't, please do your research and educate yourself. But very inhumane. I don't even know what else to say about that. But we did see it, and I did like how they brought it into the beginning of this episode.
And
we did see how you know, some of the American people reacted in that way. It was like a victory, you know.
Exactly.
And then how the Japanese Americans felt in that concentration camp. I mean, conservation, I'm sorry. Anything else?
Yeah.
All right.
I think that's it.
That's it. Do we have any news and gossip?
A little bit of news and gossip. It's a little bit of another inhumane moment, Debbie Downer, just to kind of make you realize how great the show was, is that it not only had social importance, but also had this supernatural aspect to it. But as we learned to see at the end of the episode, over 145,000 Japanese Americans and Japanese Canadians were moved, relocated, displaced, put into these internment camps. So the magnitude of that, over 145,000 people.
That's crazy.
Absolutely nuts. Also a very cool thing to see, as we saw at the end of this episode, these characters were based on real people. We got to kind of maybe see through the eyes of a bit of what they went through. You could tell that this really meant so much to the crew working on this. The producers, everyone was just very, I think, cognizant of the story that they needed to tell, but also get socially why this was so important to tell. That it wasn't just the supernatural story, but also a way for us to look back on our past, which as Americans, I think we should always be very aware of what we've done and what we intend to do in the future so that we can try and not repeat the same mistakes, but to also appeal to our higher, better interests.
Yes. I definitely agree.
Amen.
Amen to that.
For sure.
Well, folks, I'd like to thank you so much for tuning in these 10 weeks and joining us here in the Terror Infamy After Show. It's been a pleasure with being with you all. I have to say it's been awesome. Well, being on a panel one day with you.
But exactly. Then
Forget it. But then, no, I was joking.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been
great hosting with both of you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Ben, go ahead and see us out.
Same to you. I mean, you're a great host. Thank you so much for doing that. And I also wanted to say thank you to you guys joining in every week, following us, joining in, giving comments, and also to our guests. If you're watching right now, we wanted to say thank you to the whole cast and crew and everyone who came in. Thank you so much, right? And I hope we're going to see each other soon on this third season, right?
Third season, it would be amazing. Let's go.
Yeah. And you can also follow me on Instagram and Facebook, obviously. It's Benjamin Schnau, S-C-H-N-A-U. And I also do the Skyline Show in German and English tomorrow for you guys. Check it out.
Oh, awesome. So, guys, as I said before, I'm a hand model. If you want to see some pics of these bad boys,
they look good.
Check out my website. It's adamcar.com. And, of course, on Instagram, find me funnyguy1985.
And you can find me everywhere at I Am Danny Royce. Also, tune in tomorrow, The Purge, and This Is Us After Show, coming to you live. Thank you so much, folks. Have a good night. We'll see you next time.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.